Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
We welcome back University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our special guest the head of the grassroots campaign to legalize same-sex marriage in Rhode Island, Ray Sullivan. Thank you for joining us, Ray.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Before this year, same-sex marriage bills received a committee vote only once, going back to 1997. Yet on Wednesday, the Rhode Island Senate voted overwhelmingly, 26-12, to legalize same-sex marriage. Governor Chafee is expected to sign this legislation into law probably next week. Ray, why was it different this time around?
I think the thing that had the biggest impact in this campaign are literally the tens of thousands of Rhode Islanders that took up this cause. Our volunteers all across the state went door to door, knocked on nearly 30,000 doors, had nearly 25,000 conversations, phone banks every night in every district all across the Senate. That, we think, is the momentum that really propelled us forward. And when people have real, honest, and sincere conversations about why marriage matters to them, their friends, and their family, that's what we think made the difference.
Scott, we know that Senate President Teresa Pivoweed is a personal opponent of same-sex marriage. She voted against it, but didn't she make a calculation early on that the vote needed to happen because there was political peril in not doing that?
Precisely, and I think that's the biggest reason that the bill of Frank Chacon, Senator Chacon, that would have established a public referendum on this issue died also. Look, if you have people like Ray Sullivan's groups and you have a big grassroots effort out there, what a referendum would have meant is every senator who is against same-sex marriage had a potential for a primary challenge. And we know one thing about politicians. First of all, self-preservation is their biggest instinct, number one. Number two, they don't like single-issue campaigns. And this could have turned into that. And frankly, I think Pivoweed and others close to her, Senator Ruggiero, saw that this could actually end up upsetting their entire leadership.
Maureen, there was a lot of speculation early on about whether there might be some kind of legislative horse trading to get a same-sex marriage bill passed. It's my understanding that there was not. What is your perspective, and why do you think after so many years of effort, same-sex marriage is on the cusp of becoming the law in Rhode Island?
Well, to the first question, I would say we don't know yet. I mean, there may be still some trading in the works, and for all I know, that's how legislative politics works. We have to wait and see and be sure what the trade-offs will be. But in terms of what happened here, in addition to the fantastic grassroots effort, and I think that was the critical factor, you had national trends that were proving every month that the numbers were moving. You had state and local political figures coming out and, turning, what you will, evolving, as they said, towards this whole issue. So there was a number of things that happened. And, it's interesting. I really think this is a wonderful example, as an academic, of representative democracy working. A lot of things came together, and it was a question of filtering through, as Madison said, the wisdom of elected officials. You got to them, and you made the case based on what the public wanted. And in a number of ways, this is a very happy example of democracy.
Ray Sullivan, what would you say on the question of whether there was or will be any legislative horse trading in order to get this same-sex marriage bill passed?
I'm not sure. I was in the assembly for 6 years as a state representative, so I saw a lot of back and forth on this. I think, to their credit, the leadership teams in both chambers really saw this as a vote of individual legislators' conscience. And so I know there's been a lot of speculation and back and forth about horse trading. It's not something that we were ever involved with. We saw this as a matter of human dignity, a civil right, and not something that should be horse traded over.
Let's stick with Ray here for a second. Opponents had expressed concern about how same-sex marriage will affect religious institutions in Rhode Island. Ray, are those concerns anything to be worried about?
Well, no. I mean, if you are part of a faith tradition that doesn't support same-sex marriage, once the marriage equality bill becomes law, nothing will change for you. We took great measures to make sure that those traditions are protected and insured from having to recognize, sanctify, or adopt same-sex marriage. But what many of our faith leaders, as part of this tradition, saw as passing marriage equality was removing an impediment or a roadblock to administering their pastoral care.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about this is while those religious institutions that were opposed to it, you know, are protected, the interesting thing about this is how many significant religious institutions supported this. They were in the majority. So this was really provisions to protect a minority that had a very different view. That's what's so interesting about it.
Yeah.
What do you say, Scott? Any concern for religious institutions here?
Look, your faith might be 2,000 years old, but your thinking doesn't have to be. I look around at the other five states in New England that already have marriage equality. And, you know, none of the church doors are closed in Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, or Vermont. We just saw that wonderful interfaith service last week where the whole community of Boston came together after the bombing. The other thing I will say is that this would not have happened without Governor Lincoln Chafee. I think Ray will admit that had Don Cherry still been governor, we would not have this bill today because he would have vetoed it. And it would have been difficult to get it through. And I think you have to give Governor Chafee some credit and his wife, First Lady Stephanie Chafee, who's been quietly going to fundraisers and working that.
A thought from Maureen.
Well, I mean, I agree with you about the fact that Governor Chafee's support was critical. But it's interesting to speculate, given the overwhelming majorities, an override might have been possible. You know, had Don Cherry been governor, it wouldn't be fantastic to suppose that the legislators would have stepped up to the plate and overridden it.
Well, let's bring it into the present also. And obviously, Senate President Teresa Pivoweed's leadership team was somewhat divided on this issue. Mary Ellen Goodwin wound up voting for same-sex marriage, but most of her leadership team was opposed to this legislation. What kind of fallout do you expect from that, Ray?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, to her credit, look, the Senate president made a commitment. She said that there would be an up or down vote on marriage equality. She also said that she wouldn't get in the way of passing it. And she followed through on that commitment. And so she allowed the members of her caucus and the Republican caucus, who, by the way, are the first caucus in the country to be unanimously in support of marriage equality, to have a fair and honest and open debate on the floor.
What kind of political fallout do you detect, Scott?
You know, I don't see a lot, particularly given the fact that she did not stand in the way of this, first of all. Secondly, most people aren't going to notice this within 6 months. You have to be really honest. This has been what's happened in other states. And if you go back to 1995, I'll never forget, after Governor Lincoln Almond signed into law the legislation that barred discrimination against gays in public accommodations, credit, employment and housing, the governor said presciently, in 4 months, nobody's going to be talking about this. I'm going to sign this bill because people deserve their rights, but I'm not going to have a parade. And in 4 months, nobody's even going to notice this. And I know Ray well enough and his people that I don't think you guys are going to go around with a fist-pumping triumphalism here.
And to follow up on your point, Scott, obviously couples that have been wanting to marry for years, in some cases decades, will now be able to do that. There might be some additional business for wedding photographers and banquet halls. What do you see as the wider psychic benefit for the state, Ray?
As is mentioned by the governor a number of times, if we want to be regionally competitive with the rest of our New England neighbors, then we have to be a place that is welcoming to all the best and brightest that this country has to offer. And that means making sure that this is a place that recognizes and respects all loving and committed couples equally.
What do you say on that point, Maureen?
I completely agree. I mean, in the short term, there may be some economic benefits on the margins, but it's really about a cultural shift that reflects our tolerant traditions and of the makings that we're trying to do of a creative economy. And creative people, whatever their orientation, don't want to come to a place that's restrictive and prejudicial. And so I really think that this will have a profound long-term impact on the culture and character of our state.
Quickly, Scott, will this free up more political energy to wrestle with Rhode Island's perennially suffering economy?
Well, I think that people are going to address the economy. I think it's a good idea that they got this issue, which can be, historically, has been very divisive. That's changing as we saw the biggest mover here. I know the Ray's campaign was great and all that, but let's face it. Public opinion has moved on this issue more quickly in the last 2 or 3 years than almost any other civil rights issue I can imagine.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Ray Sullivan, the head of Rhode Islanders United for Marriage.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.